Second episode of Purple Cat Outdoors. We made it to number 2. I'm surprised. Yay, let's throw a party. But we are here today on a Tuesday. Yes, it'll be going up on Wednesday morning, or hopefully actually Tuesday night. And we've got some news. It's been a big weekend in the fishing world again. Like I said, the Bass Masters at Cayuga Lake was this weekend. The first ever Red Crest was this weekend. Big news on that one. We also, of course, have our lure for the day, or the test out lure, which you can, like I said, you can watch it being tested out on YouTube. I will describe it to you here in a little bit. We don't have a coffee of the day this week. I'm still drinking the murder out stuff. I had ordered another one, but it did not come in time. So we're going to just keep drinking murder out because it's just that good. But let's get down to business. The lure for the week is a Azura topwater. Oh, crap. I lost the box. You'll see it in the channel, on the YouTube channel. This one is a walking bait, and it is bone white with 2 hooks, not 3. I think it's about 6 inches long, and it was great. I got more of it on YouTube. That's about all I really got on YouTube, because I was fishing in the middle of a storm, and it was at night, so I didn't get a lot of footage, so you'll have to forgive me, but at least I got the bait thing down, and I get to show you that Pickwick is overrun with grass, and when I say overrun with it, it is everywhere. At first, it was just kind of under the water, and you knew it was there. And you could drag your jig and your Carolina rigs and all that stuff. But no, now it is legit anywhere between 1 foot all the way up to like 6 foot. I mean, sometimes it actually got up to 6 foot tall. Down here, it hasn't been like this in a long time. So that was interesting. We were out fishing, and I tried a frog. I tried flipping and punching and all that stuff. Good God, it was so thick. It was even hard to find little spots to try to catch them in. I don't even think the fish have acclimated to that much grass yet. But yeah, we were out there, and a storm popped up, and man, some of that lightning getting close by was scary, because, I mean, flashes of it was just blinding us. It was pretty bad. So we tried to outrun it with my dad's little aluminum boat. And somehow it just kind of dodged us where we moved to. The worst part about the whole trip was the fact that I lost $12 worth of jigs that I literally had bought that morning. I was so upset. I was like, I literally just bought these jigs. 3/4 ounce football head jigs. Like I said, my melting pot is down, so it is not exactly I'm not exactly able to make jigs right now. So it was just kind of, I was sitting there going, I lost one. I was like, okay, I got like 3 more. I got 2. I lost 2. I was like, oh, God, I love these jigs, but dadgummit. And then there was the third one, and I was just like, okay, I need to be careful with this. And then I lost the last one, and I was just like, oh, my God. I was just like, oh, that was horrible. It was irritating to me that I lost that many jigs. Next thing that happened, there was an all-nighter. We didn't go to that. I'm getting to the point where I still had to get up in the morning and had to do stuff, and there's no feasible way to get a fish from like 6 to 7 a.m. I was already beat to begin with, because I've not been sleeping 100% well lately. But now, there is an issue outside of fishing. Well, it pertains to fishing. It pertains to outdoors in general. And that would be being mindful of the outdoors. That's one of the topics that I kind of wanted to hit on today. Is the fact that we need to start taking care of our parks, our wilderness areas. Even if it's just that forest on the side of the road. that, you know, just there. It just kind of was like, oh, it's on somebody's land. But, heck, there's still trees. There's still plant. I mean, there's still animals in that area. Don't litter. Yeah, throwing an apple core out or throwing some kind of food product out, it's as long as it's away from the road, then it's fine. But I still would advise it, because most of the time when you throw it out of a vehicle, you get so close to the road, and then an animal comes and tries to eat it, and they get hit. So we don't want that. We don't want any more roadkill on our roads. So don't throw anything out. Because we are slow. I mean, if we just keep throwing stuff out, we're just going to slowly but surely kill off everything that's in those forests. And we have a prime example of it in Mount Everest. There's trash everywhere, all the way up and down it. Nobody seems to want to pick up their stuff. And some of it they can't, because it's in a very bad spot. Like I said, it is imperative that we start looking at it now for our future, our kids' future. I personally want to have beautiful lakes and forests for them to explore and to go out and do things outside. And we have to start now if we're going to allow, you know, let them have that. So be mindful of the outdoors. When you go camping, make sure you go and you pick up your stuff, you police line the stuff, everything like that. We just want to make sure we keep our forest clean. We want to, you know, just give our kids a future place to go and enjoy. And so that's all I wanted to say on that issue. Now, I told you I've got a bit of a special thing going on right now. That's, like I said, I told you I had a co-host. He's been AFK for a while. But he has come in for a short bit to talk. I call him a coffee connoisseur, is what I would call it. And he's going to tell you a little bit about the murder out that we are having, since the stuff that I ordered didn't come in on time. So he's going to sit down and have a bit of a talk with you about the coffee that we're drinking, which, like I said, is the Black Rifle Murder Out, which, if you haven't seen the YouTube video from last week, that and the link in description, go check that out. So here he is. This is...
Hey, everybody. My name is Austin. I'm Purple Cat's brother-in-law, or co-host, as you would have heard him say. I'm here to talk about the Black Rifle Murdered Out Coffee. What it's to be described as is the darkest roast that Black Rifle Coffee Company makes. I believe it rates at 10 on their scale. What I get it from is it is a medium dark to dark blend roast. Very warm, moderate accents, nutty flavors. It's very mellow, mellow dark coffee. It's not too harsh, not too bitter. It's not the kind of coffee you have to put a pinch of salt in when you make a pot to keep it from biting the back of your tongue. I'm a man who prefers coffee creamer in pretty much every kind of coffee that I drink. I've drank the Murdered Out Black before, not had any issues with it, haven't left bad taste in my mouth, no bitterness, no acidity, not that I could tell at least. But with a good sweet cream coffee creamer, it really brings out the mellow notes in the coffee. Besides that, drinking it, it's a very pleasant experience. I've never had any issues as a morning coffee, late in the evening, not really towards midday. Midday is more reserved for a lighter, something to give you a little pep in the middle of the day, but not really a jolt. If you're the kind of person that likes to drink coffee at night, helps you sleep, this would be the perfect coffee to do it. All on that, I'm going to give you back to Purple Cat, Joshua here. I just wanted to put my two cents in about this coffee. Y'all have a good day.
And I am back. Like I said, right now he's just doing the coffee part because it's like Tuesday night and we still got to get up in the morning and work. But in the future, he'll be doing some more. We'll be doing some cussing and discussing about the issues that are at hand. I hope you enjoyed this coffee explanation. And I'm not very good at explaining coffees because I just drink coffee for the most part. I like dark, dark coffees, and I'm kind of biased on my opinions. We're going to go ahead and get into bass news. We had the Bassmasters Elite Series at Cayuga this past weekend. And the winner was Jamie Hartman. It was a, quite a show. I watched it at least day three and day four, the last 2 days. And, hey, surprisingly enough, I picked Jeff Gustafson to win. I got second. I was surprised. I also picked Corey Johnston, which got seventh. And I didn't do too bad on my fantasy fishing picks. Of course, I got down there some and some were up there. It was a knockdown dragout. There was some people going, they would go up to into the shallow, in the deep water, catching those smallmouth and largemouth and stuff like that. I saw a lot more largemouth being caught this time. But there was, I mean, they went into the back of the creek, or not the back of the creek. They were like, oh, they were mostly the ones that were catching largemouth were out, like, really on main lake points. And then you got the ones that were out kind of out in the open fishing for smallmouth. Both were caught. You just had to choose which way you were going to go, which way was more, how do you put it, more of an advantageous to go for. Because Cayuga, from my understanding, has a healthy population of both. There was some, they would be out there in isolated weeds. The largemouth would be in isolated weeds. And then you have the smallmouth, which were staging offshore. You had a healthy group on both of them. I mean, like, Gustafson was mainly offshore because he's from Ontario, and that's what they do. They do stuff like that out there. I mean, the crowd, I was watching it. Like I said, I watched the weigh-ins and the winning. I mean, there was a lot of people there. I am so happy to see that there was a huge crowd up in New York for this fishing expo, for the fishing, the Elite Series, giving them support, because, I mean, it's still a sport. I don't care what anybody says. They work hard. I wish I was up there with them. Oh, yeah, by God, I wish I was. But not quite there yet. And congratulations to Jamie Hartman. He really, he did huge. I'm looking at the website right now. Cliff French. We're going to go through some of the baits that got in the top 10. Cliff French used two soft plastic rigs on Cayuga. A 3/8 ounce shaky head, or shaky ultra, 3/16 ounce owner shaky ultra head with a 4.5-inch Bass Assassin Little Trapper, which, I mean, he used the shaky head, which, I love shaky head, they're great. They are the most, one of the most versatile soft plastics out there. You can throw them anywhere, catch anything. I've caught catfish on them, and he also used a Texas Rig 5.25-inch Bass Assassin Fat Job on a 3/3 alt owner 4X Jungle Flippin' Hook, and a 1/4 with a 1/4 ounce Fitzgerald Fishing Tungsten Worm Weight. I would think. I don't know where he was actually at. I didn't watch much. They didn't show much of Cliff Prince. So then you got Drew Cook. His top bait was literally Spro Papa 70 crankbait. It's a moderate to deep diving crankbait. And Spro makes some of the best. I'll tell you that now. That was always, oh. And we have Stetson Blaylock. Used two plastic rig setups. A 5-inch Yum Dinger on a 3/3 aught Gamagatsu Finesse Hybrid Worm Hook with a 5/16 tungsten weight. And then his second one was a 5-inch Yum Thumpin' Dinger on a 2/0 Gamagatsu Finesse Hybrid Worm Hook with 1/4 ounce tungsten weight. Both baits were Texas rigged. So he basically used the same rig, just different sizes. Except for the Yum Dinger. It was pretty much the Yum Dinger and the Thumper are two different. Just a different presentation. I guess when one stopped, they stopped biting one, you'd throw another one and it would get their attention again. Corey Johnston, he had a wacky rigged 5-inch Yamamoto Senko on a Gamagatsu Aaron Martin TGW drop shot hook too. On the same hook and a 3/8 ounce tungsten sinker, he rigged a 6-inch Robo Worm straight tail worm. I mean, pretty basic. It's a Texas, Yeah, it looks like a drop shot and a wacky rig. Must have been flipping up in the grass. Oh, he also had a Strike King Pro Model 6XD crankbait. I mean, everybody knows what a 6XD, but if you don't, it's another medium to, or a moderate to deep diving crankbait. And then you have Brandon Lester. He alternated between a drop shot and a blade jig. That a 1 ounce or half ounce Z-Man Evergreen Jackhammer was his bladed jig of choice. Oh, his trailer was a 3.5-inch by or X-Zone Lures Pro Series Muscleback Crawl. He had his drop shot rig was an X-Zone Lures 4-inch Slim Slammer on number four Mustad Titan X Finesse Wacky Nico Hook with 3/8 ounce drop shot weight. I like heavy drop shot weights. Then we have Seth Fighter in fifth. He had a Tackle Stealth Fighter jig at 5/8 ounce. And that's pretty much what he was using. It was a 5/8 ounce Outcast Tackles Stealth Fighter jig. I love jigs. Jigs are great. Two different colors by the looks of it. Peanut butter and PB&J and green pumpkin. That's what I was seeing in the picture. We have David Mullins. He alternated between a crankbait and a Texas rig plastic worm. The choice was a prototype Doomsday Tackle 7-inch Roku worm on a 3-out owner 4X jungle flipping hook with a 5/16 ounce Scottsboro Tackle STC tungsten weight. And then he was also using the Strike King Pro Model 6X. Boom. To the next one. Chris Saldane in third. Let's see. Of course, Trogar. Always shout out to Trogar when that comes up. He a top choice was a 5-inch black stick bait on a Trogar Nico Hook 2. Wacky Rig O-Ring and a 1/16 ounce Eagle Claw Tungsten Paganda nail weight. So he was using a Nico rig. Oh, and it also said he was using a Santon Lures 1 or 1/2 ounce Z-Spin head hollow point with 4.2-inch Magabass Hasdong Siad. Oh, it's a swim bait, or an underspin swim bait is what he used. And then we're in second with Jeff Gustafsson. He used a 3/4 ounce homemade football head jig with a 4-inch Z-Man Turbo Crawls trailer. And he also had a homemade ball head jig with a Z-Man 4-inch hula stick trailer. And our winner, Jamie Hartman, it says here that he alternated between a drop shot and a vibrating jig. That choice is, it featured a 3.75-inch Riot Baits T3 Tattletale swim bait for a trailer, the vibrating jig. He also used a 4.75-inch Riot Baits the Sith Finesse Worm Green Pumpkin Neon with cartridge die added to the tip of the tail. Depending on the wind speed, he completed the rig with a 3/8 ounce or 1/2 ounce or with our 1/2 ounce weights and 2-aught owner all-purpose worm hooks. Simple, something we pretty much all use. So those are the winning baits for the Cayuga. It was, I thought it was super entertaining to watch. They were catching a lot bigger weights than I think everybody was expecting. Largemouth, smallmouth, it was just back forth fighting. Gustafsson and Hartman, they were all fighting for first place. And just Hartman inked his way into the front. Congratulations to him. He did a great job. He did phenomenal. All of them did. They all did really good. The top 10, they were fishing really, really well. The conditions were perfect. Everything was running just the way they needed it to. And congratulations to them. I hope some of those baits helped y'all out. Maybe y'all can try some of those when you get to get on the water yourself. And that's about it for the Bassmasters. All right, we're going to switch gears and go over to the MLF. I don't know as much information I did watch Edwin Evers run at the very end. I mean, it was back to back to back to back. And from what I saw, he would alternate between a spinnerbait and a maybe a vibrating jig. And I think I saw him throw a topwater. And he was just alternating. And every time he would just turn around, he would be catching fish after fish. And he was in the back of a creek. And, of course, they, like I said, they were in, on the Mississippi River at La Crosse, Wisconsin, on pool 7 and 8. I believe on the first day they were fishing 8. And then the second day, or the first 2 days, they fished 8. And then the rest of the time they were on 7. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But that's what I was seeing. And the cool thing is, when they go on 7, they literally got a 4-hour ride around before. But they didn't get to fish it, so they didn't get to pre-fish any of 8 or 7. I don't know which one. I think it was 7 or 8, one of them. And they didn't get to pre-fish any of it. They weren't allowed to. And but they did get to go 4 hours running around trying to figure out stuff. And that was it. I mean, that's all there was to it. They it was back and forth. Some of the people we thought were going to be in the end of it weren't at the end of it. People that we didn't think was going to make it to the end made it to the end. Good showing to all of them. They did a fantastic job. But Edwin Evers showed his mettle and just literally like lit him up. I mean, he was, I think, a total of 20 pounds over Greg Gagne in second place. And it was a fantastic show. I mean, it was just one fish out there. I mean, he found a, I mean, most of the time I've seen them, they were flipping grass in the back of the creeks. There was very few out in the open. They were bunched up in the back of the creek trying to find those schools. Apparently, they schooled up pretty well up there. Edwin just found that school. I mean, he found a mega school of just 1s, 2s, and 3s out there. And he was just tearing them up. I mean, one cast after the other. If you didn't get the chance to watch it, I think they have it on YouTube now where you can watch his flurry at the very end. And it was a show. I mean, he won. Congratulations to Edwin Evers. He won the points for the year for the very first MLF points race. And he won the very first Red Crest. I mean, this is a phenomenal season to him. He's a phenomenal angler. And like I said, he has my respect because, I mean, that is a big deal. Is it going to affect his season? I think he's going to go into next season super pumped and super confident. And all I can say is I hope it doesn't go to his head and gets overconfident. But I'm pretty sure Evan Evers, being the professional that he is, he's going to take that and it's going to be fuel for the next year. And I think you're going to see him up in the top again. There's a few people that I would expect to be in the top of the MLF standings next year, like Jason Christie and some of the other ones that, you know, those, some of the big names. The ones that had a bad season this year, like Jason Lambert and some of us, like, who else is there? Shaw Grigsby, he had a good season, but it wasn't good enough to get him in the Red Crest. But I think some of these young, some of the guys that we didn't see are going to come up next year because I think it's a little fire under them after watching, especially after watching Edwin Evers come and just wreck it. It's been a great weekend all around for the bass world. A lot of entertaining stuff. Red Crest is pretty much finished off. There's another Bassmasters coming here in the next couple weeks. The season's winding down. The pro season's winding down. Everybody's getting ready to head home, spend time with their families, probably hit the water again, you know, for their own. The news we got for the bass world, go to the YouTube channel. It's going to have a video of the Profound Baits Azura walking dog. I think it's called a walking dog. I think I got it right this time. First time I ever used it. Bought it the other day. I was testing it out. It was great. It was just kind of hard because wind was coming through, and it's hard to throw a light stick bait with wind blowing into it and stuff like that. But that's pretty much it for our show. Thanks for listening, as always. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube, Purple Cat Outdoors, youtube.com/purplecatoutdoors. Got a lot more videos of there just being out there and about. Boat's still not fixed. Hopefully I can get it done this week. Well, maybe not this weekend, but next week at least. lead pot's still down. I tried fixing it today, and it's down and out. I'm going to have to buy a new one. Yeah, go outside, have fun, and keep being you. And this is Purple Cat, and we're signing off.